Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And great to join us from the Reading Eagle, the always outstanding Rich Scarcella. Rich, great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sandy Barber announces that this summer she will step aside and retire. What were your thoughts when you heard that news?
I was somewhat surprised, Steve, in that down in Tampa a couple days before the game when she had her press conference and she was asked about her future plans, and she said she had a year and a half left on her contract and indicated then that she felt good and that she wanted to stay. So I'm a little surprised, but you also have to remember there's a new president coming in, and you know, maybe Dr. Bindaputi wanted her own AD. You know, that's a possibility. But I was surprised.
And so when somebody does leave a job, everyone starts talking about the legacy of that individual. How would you characterize Sandy's 8 years?
Well, I would. It has to be successful, in my opinion. I mean, she's done a lot of really good things. I mean, let's start with the improvement of the facilities, Lash Building, and you know, Panzer Field, and you know, Lash Building is being renovated. I think, and now Morgan Academic Center, I think, is a big thing that she got accomplished.
Yes.
And I think she's done well. I mean, I think her. You know, she didn't hire James Franklin, as we all know. That happened before she was hired. But, you know, the three hires, I think there were three most important hires, were the two basketball jobs and the women's volleyball, you know, to replace Russ Rose. And, I mean, it's too early to give a complete grade, but the signs are pointing in the right direction with those three hires.
Right. And, again, Panzer Stadium, you know, an investment in facilities, Lash, as you talked about. Look, you're trying to keep up with what other people are doing out there right now. And the pandemic did not stop any of that. And that's the other element, too. Guiding an athletic department through a pandemic, and they kept, and you saw the numbers, they kept the losses to, I think, about as low as they could, about three times less than what Ohio State did.
Yeah, I think she managed navigated things very well during what had to be a tremendously trying situation, especially from a financial point of view. I think she's done a really good job. It's sometimes it's hard to believe it's only 8 years. It feels like it could be a little longer, but I think overall, she's done a really good job, and she's one of the most powerful women in all of college sports, and I think a very influential person as well. And, you know, it was clear, it's always been clear to me, that she's been very supportive of Penn State student athletes, and, you know, I like her. We don't get to talk to her as much as some of us would like, but I do like her, and you know, I think overall she's done a really good job. It's going to be interesting to see where the new president, the board of trustees, where they'll find the next president, or excuse me, the next athletic director.
And there will be, obviously, for the next athletic director, you now have to guide Penn State athletics through the 20s and maybe even into the early 30s, depending on the age of the individual. What kind of challenges, and this is a very broad one, what kind of challenges does someone face in the environment we have in collegiate sports right now?
Well, I think the biggest issue right now, and I think going forward, is NIL and how to manage that and maximize that for your athletes and for your programs, and you know, and also, you know, to attract businesses, sponsors, whatever, who want to associate themselves with your athletes. And I think that's the biggest thing going forward, more than anything else. I mean, we could talk about academics, and we could talk about you know, television rights and media rights and so on and so forth, but and facilities and, you know, the improvements of the second biggest to me after NIL is the what happens with Beaver Stadium, and how much improvement is made there. But there are a lot of things that are going to be on the plate of the next athletic director.
All right, no question about that. And Penn State football will begin spring practice on Monday, so that'll be the next step on a field or a court for anybody. You know, obviously you've got the wrestling championships this weekend. So right out of the gate, you know, what are some questions? If you had a chance to sit down and ask James Franklin, I don't know, let's pick three questions. What three would you ask?
Well, I go back to a column I wrote in Florida. I think it's going to be. I would ask him about the quarterback situation. How, you know, what exactly are his plans? It seems like it's going to be Sean Clifford to be the starter. How long does he plan to stay with Sean if he hits some bumps in the road? Does he go to Christian Veiu or does he go to Drew Aller? I mean, you know, that's a big thing. The quarterbacks. How much pressure is he feeling? Because Steve, I think coming off these last two seasons, and I'm with you. The 2020 season, I feel you can throw out the window because of everything that happened. But the fact is, he's 11-11 in his last 2 years, and I think, and he has a new contract. But I think there's going to be a lot of expectations to be back in contention for Big Ten championships. Third, I would think just. You know, Manny Diaz replacing Brent Pry. I think Brent, that's a big thing. Brent Pry has been such a big part of James Franklin's success. And, you know, now that he's the head coach at Virginia Tech and Manny Diaz is replacing him, you know, how does that work out? Because obviously James and Brent are very close, and sort of, you know, had a real feel for each other. So how does that work out, that relationship between James and Manny? So they're my three.
Right. Okay. You mentioned the part about COVID. It's interesting because John Calipari was talking about this the other day because Kentucky last year did not make the NCAA tournament. He talked about, you know, all the trauma of going through COVID and trying to navigate it, and they just didn't do it very well. Now they're back this season in the NCAA tournament as a number two seed. So that's in the rearview mirror. The contract's in the rearview mirror. What do you think that can mean for James Franklin about, you still have to manage COVID a little bit, but he's not going to get questions about his contract and nothing about COVID. What can that mean?
Well, I mean, there shouldn't be any distractions, really, except what happens on the football field, you would hope. And, I mean, you know, you know James Franklin a little, you know, you know him better than me, but I think I know him well enough. He wants to win as badly as anybody, and he wants it to happen yesterday, and he wants to get back on that winning track. So I think that'll help. Certainly it'll help. And certainly a freshman class, highly regarded freshman class, will help. But you're still being measured. You're still measuring yourself against Ohio State, and that's going to be interesting to see where that gap is. Even though the Buckeyes didn't win the division last year, they remain the measuring stick. And I mean that to me is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out this season. Like I said, I don't know. I mean, he has a new contract, but what happens if Penn State goes 7-5 again in the regular season? I don't know how that's going to go over with the fan base.
Sean Clifford, we all know, is coming back for year six, but it's going to be the first time he's done it with the same offensive coordinator in back-to-back years. Okay, so what do you think the benefits can be that he's in the same system, same language, and has not had to make any changes for the first time in his career?
I've got to think that that will not be an issue, him adjusting to Mike Yurcich or Mike Yurcich adjusting to him. I think after everything they went through last year, I think they know what each is capable of and what each of them can do and what each of them can expect from each other. I, for Sean's sake and for Penn State's sake, I hope that there's an improvement. And, you know, I just don't know. I don't know. But you know, you would hope that he maintains his health because, again, we don't know what he was playing with most of last season.
Right.
I think that has to be a plus that this is the second year with Mike Yurcich. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Mike Yurcich, too, because he came here very heralded. And, you know, the numbers didn't bode well, the offensive numbers last year, for whatever reason. And I think there's a lot of fan pressure on him as well. And so, but I got to think in the second year with those two together that there's got to be an improvement. I mean, Sean looked better until he got hurt. You know, and he did look better than the year before he got hurt. So, you know, we'll see, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Nick Singleton, I can at least tell you from the workout part of it, works hard. No question about that. This is all based on potential. But what do you think he can do at this level? And maybe what do you think he can do at this level initially in his career?
What I have seen from Nick Singleton and what I know about him, I think he will work as hard as he possibly can, and I'm sure he has already, and he will put himself in the best position to see playing time this year. I can't say he's going to do this or that because I'm not at practice and I'm not one of the coaches, but I think he will do everything he possibly can to put himself in a position to play. I still don't think he will be the starter. I know, you know, again, fans want to see that. I think Kevon Lee will be the starter, and I think you and I talked about this the last time I was on. I mean, Kevon Lee played very well in the Outback Bowl.
He
and
did.
I think he'll be the starter, and I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I think Nick Singleton will see playing time, and I think he's dynamic. I think he's so singularly focused. All he wants to do is be a great football player. There's no, and this isn't like, it's not about the outside stuff or anything like that. He just wants to be great. He's that competitive.
Right. No. And we're in an era where you don't go in with one running back. You play with two, maybe even three running backs. So the door is open to play.
Yes. Yes. And Catron Allen, you know, he may get a shot too because he's highly regarded, you know, coming in this class. So, you know a lot of focus, you know, people mentioning Nick because of all the awards he's won and because he's a Pennsylvania kid.
Yeah.
But there's room for both of them maybe. You know, who knows? See how this plays out. But I know one thing too, you know, getting back to Mike Yurcich and James Franklin, they want to run the ball and they want to run the ball successfully this year. I think you're going to see them commit to that.
Rich, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate you.
Steve, my pleasure. You have a good day.